Bibles this morning. And turn with me to the book of Matthew, in chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and our portion of scripture that we'll be dealing with this morning is verses 38 through 45. Let's begin reading with verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." But he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas," or Jonah. "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, 'I will return into my house from whence I came out,' and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." This portion of scripture just continues on with what we've previously been looking at. It's the same day, same time as those Pharisees who had accused the Lord Jesus Christ of casting out devils, but by the spirit of Beelzebub, the spirit of the devil, the spirit of Satan, prince of the devils. And Jesus' response to them. And so, this morning, first of all, in this passage of Scripture, we want to notice here the Pharisees that address him. The Pharisees that address him. It does not appear that these were the same scribes and Pharisees which accused him of casting out devils by the spirit of Beelzebub, prince of the devils. For it says certain Pharisees. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees said to him. It appears that they would have been a group of Pharisees that were there present with the others, but not the same ones as. In the book of Luke in chapter 11, it makes it a little more clear, maybe, to us. In verse 16 of the 11th chapter of Luke, it says, and others tempting him. You see, they were others than the ones that accused him of casting out devils by Beelzebub, prince of the devils. But not the same, but their intent was the same. Their thoughts were the same. Yes. And they addressed him, these Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, these other scribes and Pharisees, these certain scribes and Pharisees, addressed him as Master, rather than replying to what Jesus had said previously, what we ended up with last week and the week before. They went another direction, and they pretended to have respect for him. They pretended to honor him as a master, as a doctor, as a teacher. And their approach was, shall we say, maybe a little more soft, but nonetheless cunning, sly. Others seeking to tempt him, you see. And we note this by them not saying, as the others did, this fellow. Remember, those that accused him of casting out devils by Beelzebub, they said, this fellow. A derogatory term. But these here addressed him as Master. They called him Master. They called him, in essence, doctor, teacher, great teacher. And they requested of him a sign. Did that strike you as we read that portion of Scripture? They were asking for a sign. They said, we would see a sign from thee. Luke chapter 11 and verse 16 says, sought of him a sign from heaven. Sign from heaven. In other words, they were wanting some more definitive proof that the power of God rested upon him, that he was whom he said he was, claimed himself to be. They had seen the earthly manifestations, the healing of all manner of sicknesses and diseases, and even the casting out of devils. They had witnessed that. They had seen that. All were signs. But at least a sect of them, of the Pharisees and the scribes, looked upon these as having been done in league with the devil. Those signs which Jesus did, those works which Jesus did, which testified of him, they, at least a sect of them, and I kind of think that these here did too. They looked at these things to not be proof that he was come from God, that he was the Spirit of God rested upon him, but that, well, he's in league with Satan. He's joined forces with Satan. So, because of that, they sought a sign. They sought another sign. They said, we want a sign from heaven. One in which that they thought that it would be impossible for Satan, the power, one under the power of Satan, to perform, to do. One that they might know that it was definitely of God. Not of him. Like, shall we say, well, these were learned Jews, right? Scribes and Pharisees. So, shall we say, one like from Mount Sinai. One with thunderings and lightnings. With a great cloud and a voice speaking forth from there. In which all the people trembled and were afraid and said to Moses, we don't want God to speak to us. God speak to you and you speak to us. This was the type of sign that these scribes and Pharisees were probably looking. One that was definitive. This is God. Well, they had that sign. They had that sign. Remember at the baptism of Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 3? In verse 17, the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. And the voice from heaven cried out saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And even further than that, John testifies of him in John, the first chapter of the book of John, giving testimony of John's witnessing of Jesus and baptizing him. And he gives testimony to that fact that he was. So he had already given them a sign from heaven. He'd given them so many signs. So many signs, and yet they would not believe. Jesus even said in the book of John in chapter 10, he said, the works which I do, they testify of me. They're the works of my Father. John chapter 14, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father, you've seen me. You see? So he'd already given them many signs, and yet they would not believe. They were filled with unbelief, they were filled with malice and hatred for the Son of God. But even one of their own testified of who he was. Remember in the book of John in chapter 3? In verse 1 tells us that a Pharisee came to Jesus named Nicodemus. And he came to him by night. And what did this Pharisee say? What did Nicodemus say to Jesus Christ? Giving attestation to him being. He said in verse 2 of John chapter 3, he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So they had those signs. Those signs testified of it. Even one of their own, Nicodemus, gave credence to the fact. Yes, the works that you do, the miracles which you do, give proof that God is with you. Well, in like fashion, Jesus responds to them. Oh, what a response it is again. In verses 39 through 45, we have Jesus' response, his reply to them. Starts out, he says, But he answered and said unto them. Well, he said unto whom? Well, he said unto the ones asking the question, but more than just them, he said it unto the throng, unto the multitude that were present. If you look in the book of Luke in chapter 11, in verse 29, it said, and when the people were gathered thick together, that thick together, what do you suppose that signifies? That signifies a great crowd, a great press of people pressing together, a great multitude of people were there. Not just those skeptic Pharisees, but a great crowd of people, a great multitude of people in our text. But in verse 46, which is we'll deal with more specifically next week, but I want you to see this. While he yet talked to the people. That word people there signifies a crowd of people, a great press of people, a great multitude of people. So Jesus was not only testifying, gave answer to the Pharisees, but he gave answer to all that were present. And there was a great crowd of people. And if you look at verse 46, it was such a great crowd of people that even his family couldn't be right up their front. They had to be without. They had to be on the outer skirts of the crowd, of the multitude. We want to note in his address, we want to note his charge. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. An evil and adulterous generation. This is not only said of the scribes and the Pharisees, but it was said of all of Israel, the whole nation of Israel. They were all like their leaders. They were evildoers and adulterous generation. And if you look up the word adulterous, it means adulteress. They were as an adulteress. This whole generation that Jesus is speaking of was as an adulteress. They were an adulterous generation seeking a sign. They were an adulterous offspring. They had departed from the God of Abraham, from the God of Isaac, and from the God of Jacob. We've witnessed it on Wednesday evenings in our studies in the book of Ezekiel and in Jeremiah and in Isaiah. They had gone into idolatry. They had gone a-whoring after other gods. They were an adulterous wife, the wife of God. They had entered into covenant with God. They were as his wife, and they went a-whoring after other gods. And so we have in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 3, Jeremiah chapter 3 and in verse 8. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. God says here, she was my wife, and I gave her a bill of divorce. I gave her a writing of divorce because she went after other men, went after other gods, and not me. This is the generation that Jesus is speaking to. They were a generation of unbelievers. And he said in verse 39 that there is no other sign. No sign shall be given to it. That is specifically no other sign but one. One more sign will be given. No other sign but the sign of the prophet Jonas. They shall have the same signs that they've already had. They've already had signs and wonders and devils cast out. And they shall continue to have those same signs. They shall continue to witness the same signs, the same works as had already been seen. Amen. And done and performed. But they shall have one that is different. They shall have one that will be different than the rest. This sign will be the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead by His own power. Amen. Which in effect, it'll be the sign of the prophet Jonas. And by that sign, He would be declared to be the Son of God with power. Definitely given sign that He is. He has the power of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Just briefly. Romans 1 and verses 3 and 4. It said concerning His Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That is, His resurrection from the dead declared Him to be the Son of God with power. He had the power to raise Himself. And so He told him in John chapter 10. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. Amen. And so He declared to be the Son of God with power. He would be in the grave 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights.
Amen.
Just as Jonas was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, so would the Son of Man be in the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. In chapter 1, in verse 17, said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And so would the Son of Man be. So would Jesus Christ be. Jonah, while in the belly of that great fish, that belly of the whale, comforted himself in hope. Look with me at the second chapter of Jonah. Look at what he says here. Jonah here is crying out of the fish's belly to the Lord. And he says this in verse 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. What's Jonah saying? I'm going to come out of this and I'm going to look again at the house of the Lord. You see, well, the Lord Jesus Christ comforted himself in great hope as well. Did he not? Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 2. And here we are on the day of Pentecost. And many people, many Jews, from every nation, speaking different languages, are assembled together, and Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost and begins to preach to them. And in his preaching, in verse 25, he says, "For David speaketh concerning him in Psalms chapter 16. So Psalms chapter 16, David is speaking concerning, it might appear that David is speaking concerning himself, but Peter says David is speaking concerning Jesus Christ. He said, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope." The Lord Jesus Christ is comforting himself in hope while he's in the grave. Verse 27, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell," thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave, "neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." I'm not going to stay here to see corruption. I'm resting in hope. I'm coming forth from the grave. You see, so the Lord Jonah comforted himself in hope. And the Lord Jesus Christ comforted himself in hope. Jonah was discharged from the fish's belly after 3 days and three nights. We read to you chapter 1 and verse 17 of Jonah that said the Lord prepared a great fish and Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights. Well, look at verse 10 of chapter 2. It said, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land." It discharged him out of his belly. You see. Well, and so did Jesus Christ. After 3 days and three nights in the grave, he was discharged. That's the sign that Jesus was telling them. One more sign you're going to have. And that sign is going to be with power, great power. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about that great power, the resurrected Christ from the dead. Amen. And that same power is the power that resurrects men from the dead, makes them alive in Christ Jesus. Those who were dead in trespasses and sins, he quickens and makes alive. Amen. Now notice in verse 41. Notice the character and condition of the generation. It's not only found in verse 41, but it's also found in verse 42 as well. The character and the condition of that generation. What a sad condition they are in. What a sad condition they're in. These two verses explain to us that that is a condition of unrepentance. They're unrepentant, they're unbelieving, and they're unrepentant. What a sad condition. Because of that unbelief and that unrepentance, they abide under the sentence of death. The sentence of death. "The Ninevites shall stand as a testimony against them." It says, shall rise. That word rise is shall stand up. "Shall stand as a testimony against them." How shall the Ninevites stand as a testimony against them? They were Gentiles. And they repented when the word of the Lord was preached to them by the mouth of Jonah. But a greater than Jonah is here. Amen. Jonah was but a man, subject to like sinful passions. But Christ was the Son of God. Amen. Christ was God. manifest in the flesh. And he is here. Jonah was a stranger in Nineveh and was among strangers. Jonah, being an Israelite, being a Jew, went to the Gentile city of Nineveh, a city in Syria, capital city of Assyria. You see, but Jesus Christ came to his own. John chapter 1 and verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They believed him not. He came unto his own. He didn't come unto strangers. He came unto his own. Jonah preached through the streets of Nineveh. Back in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4, it says he went into the city a day's journey, signifying he went into the city preaching a day's time into the city, on the streets of the city of Nineveh. Jonah preached there a day, and the people repented. Yes. Jesus Christ came preaching and teaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and accompanied with many mighty works and signs, giving attestation to it. And he did that for 3.5 years. 3.5 years. And they would not believe, and therefore would not repent. The queen of the south, verse 42, talks about the queen of the south. Remember who that was? In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 10, Solomon, there arrayed in all his glory and great wisdom, endued him from God. The queen of Sheba, the queen of the south, southernmost part of Arabia, came. She came in unbelief. She didn't believe it. She said, I won't believe it unless my eyes behold it. Lest I see for myself. She came in unbelief to see the wisdom of Solomon. And before she left, the queen was filled with wonder when her eyes beheld the words of wisdom from the mouth of Solomon. But a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was but a wise man endowed with the wisdom of God. You know what endowed means? It means to have a great portion be entrusted onto you. So much so that he said he was the wisest man to ever live. Not a wiser than Solomon. But Jesus Christ is wisdom. Amen. In the book of Colossians chapter 2, in verse 3, testifying of Jesus Christ, says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Think about that. All of it. Amen. And wisdom and knowledge are great treasures. And he, it's all in him. Yes. All wisdom and all knowledge is in him. You see, he's the great giver of wisdom. Are you this morning wise unto salvation? Have you been made to know the Holy Scriptures? In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 15, Timothy is told to be steadfast to hold on to the things that he learned as a child and had been taught as a child, and the Holy Scriptures which thou hast known, which are able to make you thee wise unto salvation. You see, the Holy Scriptures have been taught to Timothy as a young man growing up in his mother's home, and his grandmother had been taught to him by his mother and by his grandmother. The Word of God had been taught to him. And one day he'd been made to know the Holy Scriptures and salvation through them. He'd been made to know the person of Jesus Christ. The Scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. From Genesis through Revelation, these words testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you wise unto salvation? Have you been made to know the Holy Scriptures? That is, has the Spirit of God quickened you, making you to see, making you to know the Word of God? A greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Jonah is here. One that these and that generation had despised and rejected. One they mocked and ridiculed. Are you this morning of that generation? Are you of that generation that is full of unbelief and therefore unrepentant? One that is made to scorn, to ridicule the Son of God because you despise Him and have rejected Him? We see in verses 43 to 45, we see the great ruin. We see the destruction that is to come upon this generation. And every generation, even the generation today that abides in unbelief and unrepentance, abide under destruction and see it coming. You see, in these verses, it's given testimony to the fact that the nation of Israel had been filled with Satan, had been filled with the evil one. They had been taken away into Babylonish captivity. And there in Babylonish captivity, they had reformed of their idolatry. When they returned from Babylon, the devil had left them. And the house was clean, we might say clean and swept from that sin. That sin of idolatry, that sin of whoredoms. But Jesus, by exposing the hearts of those scribes and those Pharisees and the nation of Israel at this time, is showing that the devil's back. He said, I'll go back to my house. And he went back to it. And he's brought others with him. Hypocrisy. Self-will. Hard-heartedness. Pride. Malice. Yea, even worse than before, they were against the very Son of God. Right there in their presence, they were filled with hatred and malice toward Him, seeking to put Him to death. Satan goes to and fro in the earth, as it is described for us in those verses. He left them and he went through a wilderness for dry. Satan's in a wilderness land here. He's going to and fro upon the earth. Job chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us. Job chapter 2 and I think it's also verse 7 tells us that Satan's going to and fro upon the earth. What's he doing going to and fro? Well, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us he's going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. Amen. So therefore, we that are saved need to be sober, be vigilant. We need to be on guard. We need to be watching because he is going about to and fro seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour someone. His purpose is the ruin of men. He's seeking their ruin, their destruction. No. He can't accomplish that purpose on the saved. But note this. He desires that he may sift as wheat. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ told Peter. Peter was a saved man. Peter was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus told him, Peter, Satan doth desire to sift you as wheat. What did Jesus mean by that? Sift you as wheat. Well, what happens in the sifting of wheat? You bring out all the bad. You see, Satan desires to get all the bad out of you and out of me. He desires to sift the bad out of us that we may be an influence for evil and not an influence for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you here today and are you wise unto salvation, having been made to know the Holy Scriptures, or are you abiding as this generation described in our passage, which was an evil and adulterous generation, a generation of unbelief and unrepentance, whose ruin is going to be great? Shall we stand, have a song in closing?